The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill and Drew here in the studio, in the home studio in Auburn. Jason Caldwell checked in earlier today, and he will be stopping in as well. He was telling me about the weather up there in Nashville and said, as a matter of fact, it followed him all the way to the Alabama line before it stopped raining. But Jason will be joining us. But speaking of Nashville, don't know what the weather is now, but doing a great job have been, man, everybody up there on all seven of the hours that we carry live here, starting with the Max Roundtable with Doug Amos, and then on the line with Jacob Goins, and then, of course, our own Dan Peck there in Nashville at the Grand Hyatt for SEC Media Days. And day three today, and Dan, how's it going?
Hey, it's been an action-packed third day. We had Alabama and Arkansas going earlier this morning, and then Kentucky and Florida just finished up to wrap up day three. But yeah, I mean, this is Radio Row is bustling. You never know who you might see. As a matter of fact, former Auburn defensive coordinator turned SEC Network analyst Derek Mason is just a few steps from me. Takeo Spikes, who talked to Jacob and I he talked to us earlier today. And we've got that interview. I think they ran it on the line.
I heard
Takeo some questions as well. If folks want to hear that, we might run that a little bit later on or later on in the week as well. Takeo was outstanding. And I believe, Bill, I don't want to hold him to any commitments, but Roman Harper heard some of the show yesterday. He's going to try to drop by in hour number two. So you never know who you might hear from here at SEC Media Days. You never know who you might see.
That's great. I mean, that is one of the best things is being able to get together with and then have interviews with so many different folks. And we had a couple of callers yesterday, I had a couple of comments today. People really enjoying all the comments. Hey, let Jason in. The door's locked, so we got to let Jason.
Come on,
there
Drew,
we go.
Buzz him in.
There we go. Drew's buzzing him in right now. Jason Caldwell will be joining us here in the studio here momentarily as he walks in. So it was sort of interesting hearing. I heard more of the Alabama contingent than I did most of the others. A little bit of Billy Napier. Didn't get to hear much of Mark Stoops.
I talked to Coach Stoops about Justin Rogers and Hugh Freeze, a couple of things that we could play a little bit later on if possible. He gave some great answers about Auburn's new defensive lineman and Auburn's new head coach. Back when Coach Freeze was at Ole Miss, Mark Stoops was at Kentucky just starting out, and apparently they used to play golf together in Destin before the meetings, which was something I was unaware of. But Stoops and Hugh Freeze have a pretty good relationship. We could hear him talk a little bit about that later on in the show.
I think a lot of folks would be surprised at the camaraderie that there is among head coaches many, many times. I'm not saying all of them. They don't all get along. But, I mean, those that have similar interests, there's no question Hugh Freeze is a golfer. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and I don't know if it would necessarily surprise people, but it certainly sounds like Hugh Freeze is well-liked among SEC coaches, especially ones who remember him from his time back at Ole Miss. I mean, incredibly complimentary words. Nick Saban earlier today talking about Hugh Freeze coming back into the league as well. He was asked that question in the big room about his response to Auburn hiring Hugh Freeze. I don't think it shouldn't surprise people, but based on his track record, a lot of these coaches knew Hugh Freeze when they were trying to recruit his players when he was a high school coach. And they've known Hugh Freeze for a while, and it does sound like he's very respected by the other coaches in the conference based on what I picked up this weekend.
Yeah, it shouldn't be any surprise. I mean, Nick Saban tried to hire Hugh, before he got the Liberty job. And they have both talked about their friendship. I mean, both of them talked about it in Nashville earlier this week. So so yeah, that's some interesting stuff. If you get a chance to grab somebody, just let us know who we've got coming, who you've got coming up. I know you've got a lot of audio today. What all do we have to choose from?
We might have our buddy Ty Richardson coming by in just a few minutes from HoldThatLine.com. Doing a radio up in Arkansas. I was on his morning show yesterday. Arkansas is an interesting team coming into this year. They bring back KJ Jefferson. They bring back Rocket Sanders. Both of Arkansas's skill position players were very impressive at SEC Media Days earlier today. There are some question marks about the Arkansas team and what they can do to build on Sam Pittman's tenure. Sam Pittman, always one of the highlights of Media Days. Bill, did you hear the karaoke story?
Yeah, I did. About Farner.
Oh, baby. Oh, man. Yeah, Sam Pittman on stage, getting singing Hot Blooded with the band Foreigner until they turned his mic off. I assume because he was doing too good of a job, and they were worried that Sam Pittman would be moving in on the lead singer status.
Well, you know, I've got a feeling Sam's voice it probably carries better than some others. So I mean, with the mic. He may have just been drowning out the rest of the band.
Ask Jason if he's ever met a soft-spoken offensive line coach in his life.
It is not normal.
No,
it is not normal. No, you got to be when you got five guys to handle. You got to be assertive and you got to get after it pretty good.
I thought Pittman was great.
Yeah, sometimes they're 20 yards away from you or so when you want to get their attention, things like that. Jason, how was your time up in Nashville?
It was good. I thought that first of all, it was so much better than going to Atlanta, even with the construction going on around the Grand Hyatt and on Broadway and everything that happened. It was 1,000 times better than going to downtown Atlanta. Still rather go to Hoover.
Yeah, I'd rather have it next door.
I'm not going to Dallas, so this will be the...
I'm wondering who all is going to Dallas.
I can't imagine. Most of the people I talked to in this region pretty much said, look, and here's the thing. I can't pay $1,000, even though a company probably would take care of it, to get what you get is not worth going to Dallas for. And so...
No, as a matter of fact, it was funny now. Brian was talking on Monday saying, he'd like, and he's sure that everyone would like to get with Kirk and see if we could do the little
correct
the pre-media days stuff,
big room with Hugh Freeze here. Next year would be great to do that instead of I just don't see many folks from this area going to Dallas.
If you're dreaming, it'd be great to be out there and go check out the home run derby,
go to All-Star game at the same time. Yeah, I don't foresee that hotel rooms, flights, all those things being cheap.
I don't want to sound ungrateful because I've had a great time this week and I thought we've been able to provide a lot of great coverage. Do you get the sense, Jason, that this event is sort of becoming more for ESPN and less for regional outlets?
It's already been that way.
Yeah.
Moving it to the College Football Hall of Fame, that was the thing that tipped it already for me. Then, because you look and everywhere you look is a TV set. Everywhere you look is a TV set for whoever it is. Yes, this is all about ESPN getting there. Hey, we get plenty of stuff. No, I'm not saying that, but this is for – and here's the thing. Wait till CBS gets knocked out of this thing and it's all ESPN. Then it's really going to be.
Once this thing, because July is a dry month on the SEC network, right? I mean, it's pretty much the only month of the year they don't have a live sporting event to broadcast. When you think about it.
Yeah, they can show 17 episodes of Georgia spring game again, though, and a lot of people watch that. If I had gotten a chance, that was going to, and of course, you can never get those questions. I really wanted to find out who makes decisions on programming for SEC network. And do they think that people are watching the stuff they put on?
It seems like more and more cable networks are just sort of putting the putting the shuffle on the music player.
Correct. Instead of going, people might actually watch the Auburn Florida game from 1994 that was on ABC, which you would have access to.
Right.
Things like that would be really well watched instead of showing the spring game for the 20th time.
Because one of the cool things that ESPN has is their 30 for 30s and the SECs, things like that. Other history that you could show, because there are so many fans that may have heard about some of those games that happened before, you know, that are pre 2000 or 2010.
Yeah. Actual games.
Now it's been explained to me, and I think this was one of the things that killed ESPN Classic. I'm told that ESPN, and it's common in the cable industry to hold this view, they really don't want to show stuff that wasn't filmed in high definition. Because it messes with their, you know, there's the conversion, and it doesn't show up as well. It doesn't look great. So, that's one of the reasons why so many of the reruns are modern and from the last 10 years. You know, it sounds like there's a reluctance to really lean on stuff that wasn't filmed in HD. They got a letterbox that they got to do all
that. I guess it makes it feel like, oh, wow, you're watching something really old, though, you know.
Yeah, isn't it weird how, yeah, stuff from, like, 2005, you know, feels like it was filmed.
Meanwhile,
you know, Wizard of Oz equipment.
Meanwhile, the MLB Network has no issues.
No, you're right about that.
Not at all. They'll go, and I think they maybe.
And I think so. And I watched some of that stuff.
Correct.
Of course, I'm old.
Well, here's the other thing. Instead of watching this year's All-Star Game, who I don't really care about and didn't know really, I watched a replay of the 1979 All-Star Game on MLB Network, and it was like, okay, that was pretty cool. I know most of those guys, and I remember watching them, and so I watched this highlight special of the 1979 All-Star Game that night, and yeah, you know what? It wasn't high definition. Still watched it, still enjoyed it.
You still held your interest somehow.
It did. Mm-hmm.
All right, so day three highlights, Dan.
So I thought that the I thought Sam Pittman and Nick Saban were both very good. You know, Saban was not in the mood for foolishness. He was asked, you know, it's almost
when he is Nick Saban, Alabama football coach, he's not usually in the mood for a whole lot of foolishness.
No, and you know it, you know how it is at, like, is it Super Bowl media day, right, where folks try to ask the question that's going to go viral? And you had a little bit of that today where people were trying to ask Nick Saban about his pregame playlist, and, you know, he said, I believe his response was, I don't understand that question, when he was asked about his pregame music playlist, which was in contrast to Sam Pittman, who plugged his Spotify.
I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he talked all of, yeah, there. In some regards, I would rather listen to Nick Saban than Sam Pittman.
When you want to hear about football.
It's so much of a show that it gets to be where I'm like, okay, I'm kind of tired of that. But you're right, though, Dan. That's what SEC Media Days has become. Day one, where I'm sitting here talking to somebody, I can't remember what school they were from, but I had to get the question over my shoulder of, is a hot dog a sandwich? And I'm like, are we there already? I mean, it's day one. We can't talk about anything else. And so, yes, I get tired of that. Questions that don't belong. There's a difference between having a fun question or just a dumb question.
Yeah, and sort of derailing things. I mean, you know, that was. I don't want to, again, not to sound grumpy or ungrateful, because I'm having a great time, and it's been. I think there's been a lot of really interesting stuff shared about this upcoming season. You know, Nick Saban is. He was his normal serious self. You know, one of the things that surprised me, and maybe this is a reflection of fan interest in programs, or maybe it's just cost cutting. I'm stunned by the relatively small Florida contingent that showed up. There were times when Florida players were in the small room today, and when I say there was no one covering Florida asking questions, I'm being literal. Hmm. Like, that was not an exaggeration. Like, there was no...
It's getting farther and farther away from Central and South Florida.
Well, yeah, like yesterday from Mississippi State. Mississippi State is normally a place that has pretty good coverage, and I walked up and ask a question to a Mississippi State player during the player breakout session because nobody was with him.
Hmm.
And I kind of felt bad. I'm going to go ask this guy a question.
And that gets back to what you were saying earlier. I mean, they're going to be fewer and fewer local, I think, outlets that are going to be covering this as it moves farther and farther away.
But, I mean, I think some of that might also reflect a relative lack of enthusiasm in some places going into the season. You know, I don't want to draw too strongly, you know, of a connection there. But there are a couple of places where it's a big year for a coach to sort of prove things. And you know, we had that, I think, a little bit with Harsin last year. And that's one of the feelings you get with Napier this year, right? Is, I mean, that's a place that doesn't, you know, they're not associated with patience at the University of Florida very often, and that's you know, Napier had a lot of the right answers, and the players are talking about the big Florida catchphrase was buy-in. You heard a lot of players talk about how everyone's more bought into the Napier system than maybe they were going into last season. But you know, I keep thinking you weren't all that impressive with a top five pick at quarterback. What are you going to do without him? Like that to me is you know, it's like if Auburn had gone 7-5 in 2010, like how would you feel going into 2011? Right, like that's where, and I know Anthony Richardson isn't Cam Newton, but
No, he's better. Just ask some of these NFL guys.
Well,
you know.
Yeah, you ask some of the combine folks, they'll say he's better. Here's
the other part of that, Dan. You're talking about just kind of where the pieces are for Florida, and you go at Utah, you get Tennessee in week three, at Kentucky in week five, Vandy, at South Carolina, Georgia, Arkansas, at LSU, at Missouri, and Florida State at home. Start finding wins.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at Kentucky, by the way, would be potentially the third straight win for Kentucky in that series.
Yeah. You know,
did we ever think we'd be talking about?
They went a long time without beating them at all.
30 something years.
Yeah.
Yes.
Florida was coming up. Did Florida get to 30?
Yeah.
Did they win that thing?
It was either 29 or 30.
I mean, can you imagine to go from that to losing
three decades without beating a team?
And then they beat you three times 30, in a row?
Yeah, 30, I mean, 30, 16 games, 35 years.
Remarkable.
And
that came up with the Kentucky players, too. You know, that's got to be a goal for guys, especially if you're in your last year, you know, to think about turning the tide in a rivalry that forcefully.
Yeah, I mean, lost to Vandy last year on the road.
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, I mean it's a huge year for Florida, and it's a huge year where they're probably going to need to show results early, like you said, with that schedule with Utah and Tennessee. They're both probably going to be what, top 15 teams.
Well, you think about you think about Utah underdog, Tennessee underdog, at Kentucky underdog,
LSU for sure,
at South Carolina for Florida.
Probably,
I would say underdog.
Probably, depending on how South Carolina plays up to that point.
Georgia, obviously
no
underdog.
Doubt.
Arkansas at home, probably at maybe a slight favorite in that game. At LSU, underdog. Florida State, probably underdog.
Yeah. Oh, right now they'd be
probably
an underdog.
Florida State's a trendy preseason top five, top ten team.
Yeah, but then at Missouri, you never know how the season has gone.
I mean, they're underdogs in at least half their games right now.
Yeah, and so, yeah, that you're right, though. And the other part of about the media contingent, I talked to somebody that covers Georgia yesterday. There are more people covering Auburn than there were Georgia. The difference in not having professional teams, not having, you know, people covering the Braves, the Falcons, all these in this state, and that's why it's different in this state. Auburn, Alabama are the
that's
thing.
The stories, yeah,
and it's still places like that have the most draw.
And Tennessee's got a heavy contingent here because you know, I think a lot of these folks are local or relatively local, you know, compared to, I know Tennessee's a big state, but you know, it seems like Alabama, Auburn, Texas A&M. Huge contingent of A&M beat writers that are still here. You know, that's one, and it's been explained to me that's a huge beat. You know, I think along the same lines, Justin, or along the same lines, Jason.
Yeah,
Justin Ferguson was telling me this yesterday that's a, like, you'd be stunned at the number of subscription services and
Tex Ags is an independent site that has a huge amount of folks, and they have six or seven people just work for them alone. They, you know, and so they have that. Then you have 247. Then you have Rivals. Then you have the newspapers, and you have the local. I mean, so yeah, they have a radio and TV. Pretty big contingent, mm-hmm. in addition to some independent folks that probably jump in there too.
We need to get to our first break of the afternoon. Jason with us for what, until five? Mm-hmm. Great, and we'll get his thought. I want to get his thoughts on the Auburn contingent, how they did, and of course get audio and interviews with Dan in Nashville. It's day three of SEC Media Days. Bill, Jason, Drew here in Auburn. Dan in Nashville. You can come on in and join us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, the sponsor of our number one. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through, 334-321-1390. You can text us on the Drive text box, which is sponsored by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. And that number, 334-564-1840. We're back with more just underway here on the Wednesday Drive.
Life isn't made for joint or orthopedic pain. It's made for living, for family, for your favorite hobbies, for sports, for morning walks and afternoon play.
334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday means Jason Caldwell Day. Jason from Auburn Undercover, part of the 24/7 network, joining us here in the studio, fresh back from Nashville, where he got rained on. He was just telling me he got rained on in Nashville, and it chased him home.
I'm telling you, I could not outrun it. It rained so hard.
I need you to come out to my house for a little while so it can rain there.
Until I got to the Alabama line, it was raining. And when I tell you that you could see in front of me where – the storm ended and the horizon began.
Those are scary days when you see the wall of rain.
I could see. It looked like somebody had a spotlight out on an interstate.
It looks like a curtain sometimes when you see that.
And so so it rained on me, you know, really hard driving a rental car, which is not never a good comfortable sign anyway.
Right.
So, but it was good. Had a good time. And you're right. You mentioned the Auburn contingent. I thought they did an exceptional job. I thought from Hugh Freeze to Luke Deal, Cam Stutz, Elijah McAllister.
You can tell why he took Elijah McAllister.
Yeah, correct.
We've been around Luke and Cam some. I'm sure you've been around Elijah a little more, but wow, he is very, very impressive.
No, as soon as we talked to him on recruiting visits, we're like, man, that guy's going to be a
whatever he wants,
a building block guy of a program. Got to know his dad a little bit. His dad was there, got a chance to see him, and you could tell he was really proud to see his son in that environment. But all three guys were guys. And you know, kind of talked about a little bit before why those three, and people found out why those three, that those are guys that are program setters. Those set the tone for a program. And you think about setting the tone for the program for Hugh Freeze and Auburn right now, it's those kind of guys. Go, hey, nose to the ground, grindstone, get the job done, not flashy, not extravagant, just go get it done. And they did that, and I thought Hugh Freeze was great. I'll give people credit. They didn't go dig up dirt.
Yeah, I was surprised, but it was a pleasant surprise that there wasn't any of that.
No.
They pretty much stuck with football.
Pretty straightforward, and you know, so it was an enjoyable day. I thought it was a day that could have gotten into weeds a little bit.
Yep,
and it didn't. And so we're able to talk football, a lot of program talk, program building,
alignment.
A lot of alignment talk, and we talked about that before, and I've said it multiple times about how aligned everything is from Chris Roberts on down to John Cohen and Hugh Freeze, Bruce Pearl, Butch Thompson, everybody. But the other part of it was not going out of his way to trash his own guys because they're his team. He said, these are my team, but there's also 40 new ones.
Mm-hmm.
But going, hey, look, when I got here, this roster was not what I think an Auburn roster should be, you know, or would be. And he's right. We've talked about it. They've done.
You don't add 42 new players if the roster.
No.
If you inherit a roster that's in great shape.
No, and that's exactly what they did, and so I thought they did a good job of talking about that and the newcomers and also being realistic, going, look, this is a process that we're on, and this is just the first step of it.
Now, one of the things talk about the guys in the Auburn beat that were up there had a little chance with Coach Freeze, as is usually the case, before he went in and spoke in front of the rest of the media. That is really the news that was gotten, I guess, some injury updates, things like that.
Yeah, you know, it sounds like everybody's good. I think Brian Batiste probably still maybe the bigger question mark. I think there's still some concern about him just in terms of will he be ready when camp opens here August the 2nd. But otherwise, everything else sounded really good, I think, from an injury standpoint. Good. We already knew that DeQuavius Sory wasn't going to be in. He's headed to junior college. Quintrell Jamison Travis, Bobby Travis, looks to be on track, according to Freeze. That would add another defensive lineman and another potential playmaking defensive lineman to the mix. I think July 28th, so it'll be a pretty quick turnaround for him. The only concern there is you haven't been around the defense.
What kind of shape is he in?
You haven't been in Auburn strength and conditioning.
Right.
That's a tough, quick transition for a guy like that.
Especially if the plan is he's going to contribute, you know, right away. It feels like that's.
Well, you'll find out if a 280 pounder or whatever, or something like that. I mean, you'll find out.
Correct. Well, this will take us back to old school, because in 2000, you go out to the first day of practice and you immediately mark off about five guys.
Uh-huh.
And you go, well, that guy's not playing this year. That guy's not.
Or not for a while.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because you're like, well, because he's not going to be in shape enough to learn the system quick enough to then get in the mix. Now it's a little bit different story. I am glad that Hugh Freeze was more forthright than most coaches are when talking about quarterbacks. We've talked about for years, you cannot get four guys reps. You can't really get three guys reps.
Right.
Quickly going to get this thing down to two guys.
Well, I mean, he had two guys coming out of the spring.
Yeah.
And he's got a third that's coming in. So you got to see how the two guys who were here in the spring responded and have done during the summer.
Correct.
While getting the new guy as much
yes
attention and as many reps.
Yeah, and, you know, Hank Brown is a true freshman. That's a tough ask no matter what. He basically said, look, it's going to be hard to get him enough reps for him to make a move right now. And that's truthful. That's the way this thing goes. You would think this is going to be, you know, Robbie Ashford, Holden Garner, Peyton Thorne getting the majority of those reps in the first couple of weeks. Then it's going to get narrowed down to two. So somebody's going to have to make some moves very early in preseason camp, because it's going to get down to two pretty quickly, where they can then get a deep dive look at whoever this quarterback's going
to
be.
Getting back to something, I know we got to take a break, but getting back to something Jason said about Brian Battee, you know, the concern, I wonder if the concern is more, you know, he might be ready, but what does ready mean, right? Is he going to still be feeling the effects of the offseason surgery? Is he going to be the explosive player he was at South Florida? Because that's such a huge part of his game as an undersized running back.
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of both. Yeah, because, you know, ready for, you know, maybe an offensive lineman is, hey, he's back out there, he can get some work
play
in.
Play through it a little easier,
maybe. Yeah, I think can you get him in the mix where he can get enough reps to be ready for the opener and to be himself by then is probably the key. So you probably can he practice, can he do those things? Even if he's getting back, can he get back and be himself by the time you open the season?
Yeah, because what you want is you want him full speed
on September 2nd.
When it counts there, so to have that explosiveness like Dan was saying. We do need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Hey, we'd love for you to join in, 334-321-1390. It's Bill, Jason here in the Auburn studio. Dan, live in Nashville, day three of the SEC Media Days, as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
To drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. It's day three of SEC Media Days, and Dan's in Nashville. Bill, Jason Caldwell back from Nashville today here in the studio. Drew at the controls, and we've got Terry on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I got a question for Jason. Jason, I heard you talking a little bit about the quarterback situation, and I realize coaches have to, you know, certain coaches speak, they have to say things in a certain way, but are you on the side I am that they would be shocked if it wasn't Peyton Thorne?
Probably, because you bring a guy in to have every opportunity to win the job. I don't know. I wouldn't be shocked.
Surprised.
I might be surprised if it wasn't him. I wouldn't be shocked, because I mean, you've heard me talk. Everybody's heard me. I'm a big believer in Robbie Ashford. I think Robbie Ashford's a guy that has a ton of ability and upside.
I thought it was interesting when Hugh said he is by far the most athletic quarterback he's ever had.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I would probably be surprised because of his experience and running a very similar system, and especially the passing game side of things. But this is a team, I think, an offensive line that during the spring, I thought got really, really, really good at running the football, and they did some things on the ground game in the spring that added some things. So, I'd probably surprised. I wouldn't be shocked.
Well, with Robbie Ashford's athleticism, would they find a way to get him on the field the other way, or would he be open to that?
I get so nervous about that talk.
Not another position, I don't think, no.
And we've been doing that with the backup quarterback the whole backup quarterback might come in and run some gadget play stuff. I mean, when Jarrett Stidham was the quarterback, we were wondering if Malik Willis would come in and do that. When Bo Nix was the quarterback, we were wondering if Joey Gatewood would come in and do that. I mean, even when TJ was starting, folks were wondering if Robbie would come in. I just wonder if the era of Chris Leak and Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a long time ago. If you're not the starting quarterback, you're playing when the starting quarterback plays poorly or gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, very few teams are, you know, really have a role, you know, in the offense, a stable role for anyone but their number one quarterback.
Well, the problem is nowadays there's so many more analytics and so much more study and preparation available than there was then. That now when you bring in Malik Willis, okay, the first couple of times that works, or Joey Gatewood, the second or third time teams see it, they're going like, okay, well, unless he's throwing the football, there's nothing you're going to do to us that's going to hurt us right here. It makes it almost impossible for that to be successful more than a couple of times.
Yeah, if Peyton Thorne wins the job and Robbie Ashford's coming in and playing some, I'll happily admit I was wrong. But I just don't think that's something even worth, you know what I mean? We see it so infrequently, and it feels like we fall into this trap all the time where, oh, you know, watch out for gadget plays or some role in the offense for the backup because he can run more than the starter. Maybe, but I would bet against it.
Yeah, I agree. I just don't know that I would see that as an option. Here's the one thing. I definitely don't see an option of him moving to another position.
I think he's a quarterback here or where or somewhere else.
Depending, potentially down the line.
He's a quarterback. I think that's what he.
Do you think this is also a byproduct? I mean, again, there hasn't been actual competition between. Peyton hasn't actually gone out there and practiced with the team officially yet. But coaches have to be a little bit more coy if they have more than one quarterback who could play, right?
If you establish
a starter very early, you wonder what, you know, how bought in and how ready to go will the other guys be, especially if they think they should be starting quarterbacks too.
Kirby Smart, here's what he's learned. You don't name a starting quarterback until the season starts keep your other guys from leaving.
That's exactly right. And something may happen, and they've seen in the past where the guy they named at first wasn't the guy who was the quarterback a few weeks later.
Yeah.
So you want to have them all there at least when the season starts.
Yeah, and it's going to be a competition. It's going to be a competition that's going to take a little while. One scrimmage is not going to determine it, and because it is new. It's different. It's not different in Alabama. They got to transfer as well. So you start looking at the schools.
It's remarkably similar at Alabama, except that Peyton Thorne probably has more of a track record.
Robbie Ashford has much, in my opinion, has much more of a track record than Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson do at Alabama as well. I mean, he played almost the bulk of a season.
That's true.
And so you start looking at it, and that's my takeaway that I had going into it, and it's even more of a takeaway now after listening to people talk for a couple of days, is that I just don't know what to expect. I don't know what to expect from just about anybody other than Georgia. Probably LSU. I know more. I feel more about them than anybody else. But I'm still not sold that that's a 12-win team.
Mm-hmm.
But I have questions about Alabama. I have questions about everybody else. I don't know that there's anybody I go, I know what I'm getting right there.
No, you're right. I don't know what I'm getting from the teams that people say at the bottom. Vandy, Mississippi State, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, Vandy has some guys coming back, probably a little bit better. Mississippi State, with Will Rogers, you know, does he have the weapons around him? What kind of offense does it look like? I just don't know. All I know is that guy's a pretty good quarterback. I have questions about everybody, and that's the one takeaway I have is I go Georgia, a mixture of teams. A&M, Texas A&M could be 4-8. They could also be 10-2.
Yep.
I don't know. Alabama. Here's the thing. Alabama could be 12-0. They could also be 8-4.
Yep.
I mean, it's a possibility.
Yep, it is crazy.
So it's a wild time.
It's great though. I really like it. That makes for a lot more. It's going to be a lot very, very interesting. Let's get back to the Kia of Auburn hotline before we get to our final break of hour number one. And John is up next. Hey, John.
Hey, good afternoon. I was going to say that Hugh Freeze hasn't won one game, and eventually he may or may not be successful at Auburn as a head coach. But in my opinion, he's the perfect fit. He's got his interaction with the fan base and the trustees and the money people. Donors. He's a great PR guy, and that's what I was told from the beginning from people that knew him, and that's who was my number one pick all along. But it's been a tremendous breath of fresh air to hear, listen to him speak openly and plainly, and not just give one word answers or drone on about nothing. So that's been refreshing for me, and I think he will. I think he does have the tools to be successful.
Yeah,
long-term at Auburn.
I agree. I talked to some folks that covered him at Ole Miss and had done it for years, and they said, look, he is a guy that fits with what – and these are people that are familiar with Auburn. He's a guy that fits with what Auburn is about, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. They felt like it was a much better fit than it would have been the other way, and I agree. And so you're right, hasn't won a game yet, but everything that's been done to this point – look at the season ticket sales. Look at all the things that have gone on. Recruiting, everything that has been done to this point has been done about as well as it can be done.
And I thought yesterday one of the highlights for me of SEC Media Days was on the SEC Network yesterday. Derek Mason there on the set, and they were talking about the fit. They were just talking about the fit, and Derek Mason said, Hugh understands recruiting.
Yeah.
And then he and Hugh Freeze seemed to have a great – relationship back and forth when they were on the set together.
Yeah,
but I mean that was not just a blind shot. I mean that was an intended.
No, I got a chance to talk to Derek for several minutes.
He's going to do yesterday. Very well on the SEC network.
Perfect. It's going to be great for him. But I talked to him about it a little bit about his time at Auburn, and that was the thing. I was like, got a guy now that understands that the head coach has to recruit, and he just kind of nodded his head. I mean, those guys knew. I mean, and when you're in that building, and he's too good of a guy to ever go out and take shots, I'm sure he could. Mm-hmm. But you know, Derek Mason's going to be really, really good at breaking things down on the SEC network.
All right, I've got one question left in your –
Sure, go ahead, John.
How concerned are we about Jacquez Hunter after Freeze, what he said the other day that he couldn't comment?
Yeah, I don't think it's changed really any, because it's an investigation outside of their hands, so they basically don't know until they're told. Hey, here it is. This is not one where, well, I'm here, Auburn, let me update you on what we found at, and when
right.
It's in house. This is not in house. So,
but do we know if he's still with the team? As far as
he has not been with the team. He has been working out on his own. So that's byproduct.
That's standard, though. I mean, if there's an investigation and a suspension, suspensions involved, they're not allowed to be involved in any activities.
So he has absolutely been working out, though.
And it's a sensitive issue for privacy reasons too. But I think we don't have. I mean, I don't know if an outlet has actually come out and said Jacquez Hunter is suspended. Right.
No.
Like it's more sort of a question of it's something that nobody really feels comfortable commenting about on the record or even off the record, and as far as his status or when we could have a resolution. As far as I can tell, it's tough to speculate because I have no idea when or if we're going to have resolution anytime soon.
Well, he's definitely, in my opinion, a top 10 back in the SEC, if not higher. So I hope he's there. So I appreciate y'all's time. Thank you.
Appreciate it, John.
Yeah, no, I think you can bump that number up a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Would be obviously that's an important one. And whatever they find out and whatever happens is going to be a big storyline for this team heading into the season. Hopefully something gets resolved here soon.
We'll get to our final break of hour number one. One more segment with Jason Caldwell as we continue here on the Wednesday Drive.
Did you know that electrical fires cause over...
Bill the Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one of the Drive here on this Wednesday.
Bill and Jason here in the studio. Dan's in Nashville, and Jerry's on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Enjoying the show. I just wanted to ask a quick question to Jason before he leaves. I know Big Cat's coming up, so any updates on the recruiting front?
Yeah, just lots of names. That's the thing. We continue to add guys to the list. DeAndre Carter's, he may be one of the bigger ones, obviously physically and importance. Offensive lineman from Mater Dei in Santa Ana, California. But you know, wow. I think he's the number one interior offensive lineman in the country. This number 55 player nationally right now. And I went back and did some things, and I put it in some notes the other day, and it's kind of scary a little bit to think about it. Now, there's recruiting offensive linemen, especially highly ranked, is probably the most difficult thing to do because there's fewer of those guys mm-hmm. per the numbers that are signed every year.
You need five offensive linemen. Every team has five positions
yes,
available.
Yeah, Auburn has signed 2 4-star offensive linemen since Calvin Ashley.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and that was 2017.
Wow.
That's it. Keandre Jones and now Connor Lue. That's it. So getting that kind of talent is obviously vitally important. But I said, here's kind of my comparison and analysis. So you think 14 SEC teams. Say average 4 per team you want to sign. That's 56 offensive linemen that would be signed in the Southeastern Conference alone. There are 37 4-star and 5-star offensive linemen nationally at this moment. You think about Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State. Probably 10 of those guys are going to sign with those three schools.
LSU seems to get one or two.
Just those three, you say probably 10. That's down to 27 mm-hmm. 4-star and 5-star offensive linemen for the rest
of the country.
It's hard to sign those guys.
That's amazing.
But so, you better sign somebody.
But that's it. So now you start going, okay, where do you find the developmental guys? And not necessarily developmental. A 3-star offensive lineman does not have to be a developmental guy because so much can change between now and next year at this time mm-hmm. that a guy can come in and be ready to go. So to me, I'm looking at the offensive lineman. Reese Baker is an offensive lineman from Madison Academy up there that was really good in camp this summer. He'll be back as well. The guys to watch to me are DeMarcus Riddick, which right now still scheduled to announce before Big Cat.
Right.
If Auburn gets him, that'd be a 5-star linebacker and would be a game changer for this class, in my opinion, because it might open the door for other guys.
And just about everybody feels like he's going to stick in state.
I think it's
even though
I think
he's still committed.
He's committed to Georgia. I think it's Auburn, Alabama, 100% right now. And then Malcolm Simmons is from Benjamin Russell, wide receiver, scheduled to come to Big Cat. Could do something that day. I think it's if they feel good, man, this is 100%, we're all in, then I think he could do something that day. So that's a few of the guys to watch. Perry Thompson, 5-star wide receiver from Foley, still kind of there. So there'll be some of those guys to watch for.
What kind of numbers overall do you expect?
I would expect to have 40 to 50 guys.
Wow. Okay, because I was wondering if it'd be 30.
I think there's going to be a few more than that. Okay. I think they're going because they'll for them, it's going to be important to go 25 and maybe even a little 26 because mm-hmm. you're still a little bit behind,
sure.
you know, in those classes. If you could get Ryan Williams back, if you get some of those guys back, I think it's going to be a good group.
Appreciate the call, Jerry. We are running short on time here in hour number one. Jason, really appreciate you stopping in. I mean, you guys, I'm sure, have tons of stuff from up in Nashville and getting ready for Big Cat there at Auburn Undercover.
Yeah, we put up a Media Day Central, so you can follow that. And I think at the moment, I think just from today alone, which is the day after Auburn, there's 1, 2, 3, there's 7 or 8 things up from today.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 12 yesterday, 7 or 8 the first day. So we've got 25 or so plus stories from SEC Media Days, recruiting thrown in there as well. So you can find that there. I think we'll have another little updated promo going on beginning tomorrow, so you can check us out at auburnundercover.com and find me on Twitter at ITATJason.
Jason, thanks a lot, man. It's good to have you back.
Yes, absolutely.
All right, we're halfway done. Back with more from Nashville with Dan in hour number 2 of the Wednesday Drive.
Of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in hour number two of the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Dan Peck live from Nashville, Radio Row, SEC Media Days, day three. Winding down here as all of the players and coaches have made their media appearances. Tennessee Titans hosting a media party a little bit later on. Excited about that. But tons of outstanding access to players, coaches, members of the media this week here in Nashville. First time that Nashville has hosted SEC Media Days. Want to again thank our sponsors for helping provide this coverage of SEC Media Days. The Orthopedic Clinic, Tim Jones Farmers Insurance, and Wickles Pickles. Thanks to all of our sponsors here at ESPN 106.7 for helping us provide coverage of SEC Media Days. Drew at the controls, Bill Cameron back in the studio. Jason Caldwell hung out with us in hour number one. If you missed any of that, check out the podcast available at ESPNAU.com or wherever you listen to podcasts. Podcast of The Drive presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. Going to try to talk with Ty Richardson from HitThatLine.com. He covers Arkansas athletics. We've had him on the show before. Coming up a little bit later in the hour, Roman Harper told me he's going to try to make it before the show is over. He watched us do some of the show yesterday. He wants in. So SEC Network analyst Roman Harper, former Alabama and NFL safety, might be dropping by a little bit later on. We will see if he can make some time for us. If not, I might try to record something that we can run a little bit later. But I've really enjoyed this, Bill. It's been a good time, and I hope folks have enjoyed the coverage we've been able to provide here on ESPN 106.7.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Dan, how do you feel Nashville has handled it? I mean, folks that I've talked to, and Jason was really adamant that he thought much better in Nashville than it was in Atlanta last year.
Yeah, I mean, the hotel itself is an outstanding event space. You know, they've really rolled out the red carpet. The SEC's taken over about four floors of the Grand Hyatt downtown for different reasons, and that's been, yeah, I mean, it's been more convenient than it was when it was spread over a couple of buildings in Atlanta last year. Nashville is not Nashville's a city that hosts major events, and they host them downtown. The NHL draft, I think, was last month at the Bridgestone Arena, which is just a few steps away from the exit of this hotel. Broadway has become, you know, what would you compare it to? New Orleans or Las Vegas as entertainment district. I mean, that's sort of what, you know, it's like that if all the casinos were named after country music singers, right? Like that's sort of what it would be in Las Vegas. I hadn't been to Nashville, and I hadn't been downtown in a while, Bill. I was a little thrown by every bar having an affiliation to a different country singer. And you go from one, but it's like, oh yeah, well, we're gonna check out Miranda Lambert's, and if we don't like it there, we're gonna go to Kid Rock's place. Like it is very strange to talk about bars that way, but it's been really lively and a lot of fun.
We'd love for you to join in. You can give us a call on the Kia of Auburn hotline, Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. The number to get you through, 334-321-1390. Dan mentioned Southeastern Industrial Contractor, sponsor of the podcast. They also sponsor the Drive text box, and that number is 334-564-1840. Hour number two of the Drive brought to you by one of the main sponsors there for bringing you all this live coverage from SEC Media Days. That's the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com. So you had two Western Division, two Eastern Division. Hey, this is the last year you're going to be saying that. We're going to be talking about that. The last year of division play in the SEC, Alabama and Arkansas from the West, Florida and Kentucky from the East. Today,
And five of Auburn's eight opponents in the conference this season went on the first 2 days of SEC Media Days. So today it was Alabama and Arkansas starting things off tomorrow. The only team on Auburn's schedule will be Ole Miss on the final day. But you know, even from the guys that aren't on Auburn's schedule, right, we got cool information about Justin Rogers, the new Auburn defensive tackle from his Kentucky teammates and his head coach. And I asked Billy Napier a question. We might run this a little bit later on. I asked Billy Napier, now that he had a year to process it, the biggest challenges coming into the SEC from the group of five. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's a bit of a comparison there because even though Hugh Freeze has been an SEC coach before, he's still making that same jump from the group of five to the SEC after winning at Liberty for the last couple of years. And I was intrigued. As a matter of fact, you want to hear Billy Napier's answer?
Sure. I mean, you've got right the audio. That's one of the things. I know folks are really looking forward to hearing some of the things. Some of the comments from the participants today.
Yeah, let's hear what Coach Napier had to say when I asked him about that that exact thing.
Dan Peck, ESPN 106.7 in Auburn. Coach, you talked about coming back into the league after a couple of years off. Hugh Freeze returning to the SEC this year as well after coaching at Liberty. The biggest differences between coaching at the Group of Five level nowadays in college football versus coaching in the SEC?
Yeah, pace of the recruiting calendar relative to early signing period and the pace, the sped up evaluation and recruitment process. That's number one, without a doubt. So that's where we've had to adjust, you know, year one to year two. And look, I do think we made changes in our workflow. I think that we've been able to retain our people, and I think that it's leading to results, right? So. We've hired really well. We got a lot of really smart, talented people, some older veterans with wisdom, and then we've got some really young, bright future up-and-comers as well. So I think that's number one on the list. Now, you throw NIL, you throw portal. Those are new variables in the game, and certainly the combination of those last two creates issues. So three big takeaways year one. Those are the three things. We've come up with really good systems for the final two, and I think we've adjusted in terms of workflow and job descriptions for recruiting.
So Napier's answer wasn't really about what's different on the field the SEC versus the group of five. And I think, you know, both Napier and Freeze probably know what they're getting into on the field. Napier was a coordinator for a long time in the SEC and at Clemson before taking that Louisiana job, and Hugh Freeze was the head coach at Ole Miss before getting the job here at Auburn. But the off-the-field stuff, the roster management aspect of it is very different, and that's I think that's to be expected, not just in the number of decisions you have to make about who you pursue, but also the speed in which you have to make those decisions. And you know, you look at Hugh Freeze, you know, he talked about the challenges in evaluating transfer portal players because they went in the portal yesterday, and if you don't make your move by Sunday, someone else might sign them.
Oh, absolutely, and that's one of the things. I heard Billy Napier say, give a very similar answer when he was just asked about the challenges of his first year on the SEC network a little while ago, and that's he said the speed with which you have to make decisions on player personnel and roster management, as you said. He said, at the group of five, you're not going to be the first choice anyway. You want to get in there, but it's not as important to be there right on a player as soon as he is in the portal. He said, at this level, at Florida, he said, you've got to be on them immediately or they're gone.
Yeah, you know, I think Billy Napier, he sounds like a smart guy, and he has, he's got a lot of experience. I'm not rooting for him to fail at Florida or anything like that. I'm pessimistic about this season for the Gators, but I do think this is a guy who, if they had the luxury of time and patience, might be able to build something that lasts at the university. And the recruiting seems to be going really well. It's just a matter of whether or not the on-field results will justify continuing the experiment. But I came away thinking Billy Napier is someone who, you know, fully understands the challenges in front of him and the pressure of what might happen if Florida underachieves this year.
Well, I think a lot of people have had an eye on Billy Napier for a while. I mean, he has a very strong pedigree. He has been with winners. He has been with coaches, who have national championship trophies and rings. So, yeah, but the thing is, as we said a while ago, you look at the Florida schedule, and it is just not conducive to having a great year. And I mean, things need to fall in place, and they do, because
The Gator Nation is not going to have a ton of patience. I'm sure if things don't work out at Florida, Billy will get plenty of opportunities. But, you know, things need to start going well for him in Gainesville very soon.
Other coaches who you know, I was really impressed by Alabama's entire contingent, Kool-Aid, Dallas Turner, and JC.
Well,
I thought all very impressive.
I was going to say they may not have been dressed like him, but there was a lot of Rodney Dangerfield. I got a lot of the lack of respect that came from Nick Saban and all the members of the Alabama contingent today, talking about you know, how nobody's picking them to win, and they've got a chip on their shoulder.
I mean, when was the last time there was another team as considerable a favorite to win the league? You know, other than Alabama, when have you had a situation like that in recent years?
2015 was the last time Alabama wasn't picked to win the West. And
yeah,
they won the national. I heard somebody, a couple of people today, pointing that out, that the two times in the last 13 years Alabama has not been picked to win the West, they won the national championship.
You know, I think all three of the players Alabama brought will be well represented on the SEC
All-Conference
team. I think so. I was able to ask Dallas Turner about the Iron Bowl that he played in 2021 and his thoughts on going back to Jordan-Hare in 2023. Thought I'd play that for you right here.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
106.7 in Auburn. Iron Bowl is back in Auburn this year. You were at the game in 2021 as a freshman. What do you remember about that one, and are you excited to go back to Jordan-Hare again this year?
Honestly, I didn't know how important and how deep the rivalry was till I actually, like, ran out the tunnel for the stadium. So, you know, like, once I ran out the tunnel and seen, like, all those people, and they really did not like us, it was, you know, it was kind of eye-opening. But, you know, I'm looking forward to that game. It's going to be a good game every year, especially at Jordan-Hare. You know, that atmosphere is crazy over there. It's very loud. And they call it the jungle, so it's definitely a jungle for sure.
I mean, that's an Alabama defensive end.
Yep.
Talking about Jordan-Hare Stadium there. And now, he's a South Florida guy. He's from STA down in Fort Lauderdale. So I think it's understandable that he might not be as well-versed in the rivalry as people who grew up closer to it. But it didn't take long for him.
No, it takes that one time out there on the field for those guys that haven't been around it for a long time.
Yeah, and he's, you know, I think that the players who like playing in the biggest atmospheres possible, you know, and that's the sense I get from Dallas Turner. He's looking forward to a chance to come back to Auburn in 2023.
334-321-1390. Let's get to Yellowhammer. Hey, Yellowhammer.
What's up, Hammer?
Hey, afternoon. I wanted to describe a situation and then hear you all jam on it. We have some instabilities that hit college football when we have the COVID, then we have NIL, and then we have the transfer portal. And then on top of all that instability and those variables, Auburn is going through a transition from one coach to another. And so we've been in an unstable situation and just unstable anyway. And so, you know, maybe we're at the bottom here. I don't know.
Well, you know, that's one of the things. I think when Hugh Freeze was talking about one of the things he has had to, one of the biggest challenge, and Dan asked him this question, right, about the biggest challenge was trying to explain that there is alignment and that everybody's on the same page. Right, Dan?
Yeah, I asked him about the biggest challenges he's had in recruiting the program since he arrived, and he said that the reputation that preceded him about Auburn, the notion that people are pulling in different directions, or there's infighting, or there's a battle for power behind the scenes, you know, that's something that he's having to fight in recruiting, that perception, because star players and great high school coaches don't want to send their kids to that situation. And so that's something that he's having to fight through. And I would think that the bottom, the hope is that the bottom came against Arkansas last year, right? And it's been a fairly positive trend since that Texas A&M game and since Cadillac Williams and the Auburn program turned the page on the Brian Harsin era. And, you know, maybe this year has more than its share of setbacks. I don't know, but I think folks are hoping that some positive momentum was gained at the end of last season, and Hugh Freeze can capitalize on it.
could we say this is maybe one of the most tumultuous periods in the history of college football, though, with all those things going on?
Oh, college football? I would say it is one of the most volatile, yes.
Well, yeah, I mean, you have a situation where two conferences are unsure about their futures, maybe three. NIL is something that has folks wondering, you know, what rules could change, you know, within the month or within the year. And you're right, the transfer portal opening up instant eligibility to underclassmen who want to switch schools. I mean, that's something you didn't have to worry about re-recruiting your freshmen a couple of years ago, and now you do.
Right.
Now everyone on your roster can leave for a better situation, and you need to keep them happy and keep them satisfied.
Well, I'm glad I'm not a coach.
I mean, remember, Bill, we used to hear, appreciate the phone call, Yellowhammer, great stuff. Bill, we used to hear those stories, right? Coaches would say, you know, I'll say what I need to on the recruiting trail because when you sign with me, you're mine, right?
That's right. Like, it changes.
Not the case anymore. I mean, you got, you know, that'll work for about a week until the kid goes in the portal and heads off somewhere else if he feels like he was misled on the recruiting trail about his role or what program he's signing up for.
334-321-1390. You can join in as well. We'll get to our first break. Dan has more audio. We've got guests coming up at the bottom of the hour. So stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
The 40th Annual World Deer Expo, brought to you by...
at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of the drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email the drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. It's day three of SEC Media Days in Nashville. Dan Peck up there and has a lot of audio. What else do you have, Dan, that catch?
We got the Sam Pittman stuff that I've mentioned, the karaoke story, and also he talked quite a bit about hiring Travis Williams as his new defensive coordinator. A couple questions came up about Travis and what he's the impression he's made. You want to hear Coach Pittman talking about Travis Williams a little bit?
You've got the controls. Play away.
Let's do it, Bill.
Hey, Sam. I was wondering if you could walk me through your process.
It's our buddy Nathan King.
Travis Williams, what you liked about him and his pass stops, and did his SEC experience kind of have any factor into that?
A lot to do with that. You know, I had a lot because he understood recruiting, understood urgency. It's just different. Urgency of coaching in SEC, urgency of recruiting in SEC. It's different, man. Everybody say it ain't. It's that they're lying. It's different. And so I wanted somebody that understood that. And obviously, I liked his style. He's very, very aggressive. I liked his style. I liked the fact that he's going to keep four linemen on the D-line in the game. Even if he's in an odd front, he can walk one up. But he was so positive, and he had a reputation before I ever went in there as a recruiter. And in the world of portal, you better have some guys that can recruit, because if you can't, you're going to be gone. And I just felt so at ease that if I hired him, that he could help me replace somebody if they did go in the portal. And he might be a reason why some of them might not go in the portal, if that makes sense, just by what kind of character, what kind of man he is. I love the guy. He's a wonderful, wonderful person.
Bill, I don't know if it's just the way Sam Pittman says gone. In that clip where if you don't recruit right, they're going to be gone. I believe was how he made it into a multi-syllable word. But I think his point about Travis Williams is a good one. It's not just about what Travis brings as a defensive coordinator, although Travis is respected for his ability to coach and his ability to game plan. But Arkansas added a significant recruiter to their defense when they brought
former
Auburn linebacker and linebacker's coach, Travis Williams.
Oh, you're absolutely right about that. We've got another caller. Let's ironically, after you played sound bites from Sam Pittman, Sam is up next. Hey, Sam.
How you doing, Sam?
Hey. Doing pretty well. I had a question. What are your expectations for the Jets this season?
Ooh, Aaron Rodgers is back. I don't know. I don't know a ton about the roster outside of that. That whole division feels like a dice roll. The Dolphins have high expectations if Tua can stay healthy. The Bills are probably on paper one of the five best teams in the NFL. And you count out the Patriots at your own peril. Hard to feel super strong about the Jets because of the recent history, but Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it's been 12 years since they've been in the playoffs. I heard Booger McFarland earlier today say that he feels like it's going to take a few weeks of the season for Aaron Rodgers to really sort of fit in and be comfortable and get in the flow. But, you know, Booger was thinking that things are going to start clicking about four or five games in. And he said he felt that the Jets could win 10 or more ball games this year. That would be an amazing turnaround for a team that's been down for a while.
Look, Peyton Manning switched teams late in his career, won a Super Bowl. Tom Brady switched teams late in his career, won a Super Bowl. I'm not saying Aaron Rodgers is going to do it because it's the Jets, but I would not count out the possibility that the Jets could be a lot better instantly when they add Aaron Rodgers to the equation. Good stuff, Sam.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Sam. 334-321-1390. Dan's rolling audio from day three of SEC Media Days. What else you got, Dan?
Well, we haven't talked a ton of Kentucky. They're not on the schedule this year.
Right.
And Auburn, you know, it rarely is Kentucky football one of our hottest topics. But Auburn did land a defensive lineman that people are very excited about, Justin Rogers.
Absolutely. He and Jason Jones going to anchor the middle, I believe, of the Auburn defensive front.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Justin Rogers getting some votes from the media as one of the top defensive linemen in the conference in the preseason based on his track record. And a guy Kentucky brought, who I will say I think has the best name of anyone that has attended Media Days this year, Octavius Oxendine, the defensive lineman for the Kentucky Wildcats. He talked a little bit about Justin Rogers and what Justin Rogers brought to the team and what kind of player the Auburn Tigers are getting in their new defensive lineman.
Impact ESPN 106.7 in Auburn. Justin Rogers transferring to Auburn, your teammate from Kentucky. What can you tell us about the player Auburn is getting in Justin Rogers?
You're definitely getting a playmaker in and out of on the football field. The film room, you're getting a playmaker. On the field, you're definitely getting a playmaker. He made huge strides last year. Just his technique-wise took very huge strides. We were all in the play under the big triangle of Coach Pete. He plays, he coaches a lot of defensive line things that we all learn, and Auburn runs the same as us. So I feel like he played good in that defense, so you guys got a good athlete.
Trying to remember which coach said it yesterday. It might have been on Monday when they were saying, you know, if you can't stop the run, you know, might as well go home.
Right.
In this league because it's not going to
go
well.
That's true.
Player like Justin Rogers for an Auburn defense that struggled against the run in some games, including the Arkansas game, when the Arkansas Razorbacks were able to do pretty much what they wanted to on the ground against Auburn. To go get a defensive lineman like Justin Rogers from Kentucky, a guy Alabama was after too. He picks Auburn over Alabama. It seems like an impact player to an Auburn defensive line that, even though they retain Marcus Harris and they go get Messiah Nikilakite from Maryland, this is a defensive line that needed impact players.
You're right, and we talked about Bobby Jamison Travis a little while ago. A player that Hugh Freeze says should be good to go. But again, like we were talking, you just don't know if he is going to be physically ready because the rest of the guys, including Justin, you know, have been here working out over this summer, which we were just – weren't we just a couple of weeks ago saying, hey, it's been a pretty mild summer. Not this week, I can tell you that.
I haven't been around, so I don't know as much about it, but it does sound like the heat is not kidding around in Alabama right now. Hey, since we're talking Auburn defensive line, we're going to switch and talk some Arkansas with Ty Richardson in the next segment. But you want to hear what Cam Stutz had to say about working against the Auburn defensive line? Talked to Cam a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, that's great because he is the one I have not heard. I've read some of the comments. I haven't heard Cam on anything after his visit yesterday.
You know, I thought Cam did great. Here's Cam Stutz talking about the Auburn defensive line.
You got to go up against some of the D linemen in the spring and presumably since then, but what can you tell us about the Auburn defensive line? Marcus is back, Jason's back, you got some new additions as well.
Yeah.
What should folks expect out of those guys?
They're doing a really good job. We've been going at it. We went at it all spring. We're going at it, competing during summer workouts, so it's been really fun. I'm excited to see those guys go out there and dominate against whatever offensive lines they're going against. It'll be really fun.
Yeah, Cam, you know, like a lot of offensive linemen, right? They're happy when that defensive line's going to work against anyone else after playing against them in practice all offseason. Good stuff from Cam Stutz there.
Oh, yeah, no question about it. You want to go ahead and get to the bottom of the hour break? Have you got
Ty just sat down. He's right across from me. We can get to him when we come back.
All right, we will do that. Stick with us. A half an hour to go here on the Wednesday Drive.
Be at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Dan Peck live from Radio Row. Nashville, Tennessee, SEC Media Days, day three, as four more teams take the stage. Just three teams left as the event winds down tomorrow. Two of the four teams that went today will be on Auburn's schedule. Heard a little bit about Alabama earlier. Might talk to Roman Harper if he pops through. Said he wanted to be on the show. Gonna hope that he sticks to that. But, you know, he's a busy guy in demand around here. In the meantime, thrilled to welcome in someone we've had on the show before. Believe he made a pop-in appearance at Sky Bar last season. Oh. And it's great to have Ty Richardson back from ESPN Arkansas. HitThatLine.com is where you need to go. I think these guys are the best at covering Arkansas on a day-to-day basis. And that's been an exciting program to cover between Sam Pittman, bringing something of a resurgence to a football program that had lost a lot of games at the end of the Bielema era, and the Chad Morris era. I'm sorry to bring up all these names that you probably don't like talking about. And then in basketball, I mean, I think one of the more exciting programs in the country is the program that you've got there with Muss in men's basketball. So, Ty Richardson, thanks for making some time for us. Great to talk to you again.
Auburn, Arkansas basketball is a lot of fun. Bruce Pearl, Musselman going at it. Last year, let me tell you something about Auburn. That is a beautiful campus. I mean, Sky Bar was the best college bar I've ever been to. That was an incredible weekend.
It was Halloween weekend, too, wasn't it? I mean, if you're going to make an appearance like that, that's when to do it.
I remember I entered the press box, and I saw you at 1. I'm not sure if I'm outing you or not, but I saw you at 1 a.m. the night before, and I introduced myself to Bill, and I was extremely hungover, and I was just hoping that I still didn't have the liquor on my breath that he had.
That's just an old press box aroma anyway.
You think you're the first guy in the Auburn press box with liquor on his breath, Ty? Come on.
That is true.
Absolutely. Man, I tell you what I'm amazed. I don't know if I can believe Dan said he actually was awake and on your show this morning.
It was yesterday. It was Auburn Day. It was Auburn Day, but I did in fact make it. I did make the appearance.
7 a.m. Now the deal tonight is it's karaoke night, and I wake up every morning at 3:45. So I'm gonna maybe get 4 hours, 3 hours of sleep if that. Bill, he was there. He was. I guess he had some coffee or some energy drinks.
The rumors are true. I was there.
There's no way it was Sasquatch or he was sleepwalking or something.
Now, Bill, don't think that's going to carry over to when I'm back in Auburn. But it's.
I got you scheduled for some early classes, Dan. Yeah, there we go.
this is outrageous. All right, so Ty, it's a. You know, it's an interesting year for this Arkansas football program. Two new coordinators. You bring back KJ Jefferson after a storied career. He probably had options to move on if he wanted to. He decides to come back and continue to help build this Arkansas program into something better than it was when he arrived. What can you tell us about how you're feeling going into this season?
Well, I'm feeling as long as he's healthy and plays 12 games, Arkansas is going to have a pretty solid year. I don't know if they're necessarily going to compete for the SEC West, which will be the last SEC West title, but what I know is KJ Jefferson seems to keep you in every single game, whether it's Alabama, whether it's Auburn, whether it's LSU. The guy just makes plays, and he makes it difficult on defenses. And they've got an all-SEC, all-American type running back in Rocket Sanders. I know Auburn's accustomed to having just outstanding running backs. Starkwest Hunter, of course, he's pretty stinking good. But I think, again, there's question marks about you'll return little to no defense, and you've got some offensive line questions on the tackles, and you've also got some questions at wide receiver. So There's a lot of different scenarios playing out of my head with this football team.
Yeah, Auburn, you know, Auburn lands. Oh, go ahead, Bill.
No, I was going to say there's some very familiar names there when you're talking about defense. You're we heard some comments a while ago from Sam Pittman about Travis Williams, of course, former Auburn player and assistant coach who's the coordinator. Co-defensive coordinator Marcus Woodson spent some time at Auburn, as did special teams coordinator Scott Fountain. So a lot of Auburn ties there. On the defense and in special teams.
Bill, let me tell you something. Travis Williams is killing it in recruiting right now, and Coach Woodson is a huge asset to Sam Pittman and Coach T. Will. I feel like I'm doing him improper by not saying T. Will, because that's what all the players
absolutely.
Need to call. And he's really connected. Arkansas has had success every once in a while getting a blue chipper for offense, but rare is it they flip a kid that's, let's say, a Louisiana kid that's going to LSU, but they flip it and come to Arkansas. That doesn't happen on defense. Williams seems thus far as making some progress there.
You know, and something else, we played this clip earlier in the hour, but Sam Pittman pointed out, it's not just about the players you land. It's about the players who would leave if Travis Williams wasn't around. It's about Travis Williams' ability to retain and re-recruit players in an era of immediate eligibility when you enter the transfer portal and so much roster turnover. Travis Williams' ability to establish bonds quickly with some of these players. I wonder, you know, how different might the roster be if Arkansas had gone in a different direction with Travis Williams. You're pointing out his ability to recruit. Sam Pittman singled out his ability to re-recruit.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness he's in red and white, not purple and orange, because I think we'd be talking something different if not. And I'll give you an example. So even on guys you miss on, like even on guys that Freeze misses on out of high school, if that kid's like, oh, Auburn was second or third on my list. For example, Landon Jackson's a Texarkana kid who was here today. He went to LSU out of high school. He thought Arkansas was in contention. He hits the portal after LSU, winds up in Fayetteville. It's just how it happens now in college football.
Rocket Sanders told a story in the small room that Travis Williams recruited him heavily to Auburn as a as a defensive player. And he established a relationship with Travis on the recruiting trail back then. Turns out he probably made the right call going with running back.
Yeah, I think
Rocket Sanders.
God, if he's better defensively, my goodness.
Well, I asked if Travis had tried to lure him over since arriving at Arkansas, and it's been the offensive coaches weren't thrilled about the idea of Rocket Sanders switching over and playing strong safety or something when you're a 1,400 yard back. Second in the SEC in rushing yards last year. But it's amazing how small the world can be. Travis Williams was heavily after Rocket Sanders to maybe play a linebacker or in the secondary. Instead, Rocket Sanders at Arkansas. Now, reuniting with Travis. They're on the same team after a long road.
Well, hey, here's the interesting – oh, go ahead, Bill. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to ask you, Ty, about the transition from Kendall Briles to Dan Enos as the offensive coordinator. How different are things going to look?
I think you'll see more pro style. You'll see more under center. KJ's going to do a lot of different things. It's going to be multiple offense based on Danny Enos' track record at Maryland, Miami, Alabama, and Arkansas. But if KJ wants to play NFL football, this is better for him than Enos coming in. Transition happens in college sports. This is KJ Jefferson's third offensive coordinator, Joe Craddock, Kendall Briles, and now Dan Enos. So he's used to a little transition, and hopefully this one will be pretty seamless. We saw what it was in 2015. In fact, really the game, if you look back in 2015 when Brandon Allen's career took it off at Arkansas, was against Auburn in that four overtime game. He completed a fourth and goal from the 3-yard line to Drew Morgan on a slant route, and the offense was never the same after that. They exploded the next like 5 or 6 games.
Talking with Ty Richardson from HitThatLine.com, ESPN Arkansas, helping us cover the Razorbacks. So where do you view, do you see an NFL future for KJ? Like, what's sort of the read on him right now? Because he's a guy who's really improved as a passer, and the athleticism has always been overwhelming. And Bill, I don't know if you've been around KJ Jefferson in person.
That's a large
enormous.
Young man.
He is enormous.
No kidding.
And it's the right kind of enormous.
Mm-hmm.
we should get a little drill going with him and Dan, Bill. What do you say? We line Dan up in the
fastest you want to see run is in the other direction.
Gee, I think I like KJ in that matchup.
Yeah. The odds makers have they've set KJ as a heavy favorite.
Well, I'm gonna be honest. I didn't see in Will Levis and he went where he did. I didn't see it in Anthony Richardson and he went where he did. So I guess like NFL GMs and execs just get this idea in their mind that this kid's going to be special at the next level if we fix this and that, and they just go on that gut feeling. And for KJ, the game qualities, the leadership is there. There's just some mechanics and stuff. And I say that like he had like better statistics in certain cases than Bryce Young, yep, who was the best quarterback in college football this year. If he can evolve even from that, then, yeah, he's definitely got an NFL future.
Let me ask you, Bill, because I got to fill out my ballot before this thing's over. And between Jaden Daniels and KJ Jefferson and Will Rogers and Spencer Rattler and Joe Milton, like you've got several quarterbacks for two spots on this ballot, a first team and a second team guy. I mean, I think KJ is going to be one of my two.
You know, the and guy,
Rogers,
yeah, I was going to say.
This incredible career. And Jaden Daniels is probably the favorite to be the first team guy after the season he just had at LSU.
I think Jaden will be the first your first team preseason all SEC guy. The guy that scares me the most is KJ Jefferson. He's the one that scares me. If I'm you know, preparing against him, he scares me the most.
I tell you what, I don't think LSU would get worse in the slightest if you swap Jaden Daniels for KJ Jefferson.
No, not at all.
So I think a lot of that has to do with that.
Who's
not
around
a slight
him?
That's not a slight at Jaden Daniels.
No,
Daniels
he's an outstanding talent. And, I mean, he's dual threat, too, no question.
But that's how I feel about KJ. You put him on the right team, and he would absolutely – I mean, he's on Arkansas last year, he was overwhelming at times. Mm-hmm. Ask the Auburn defense about you know, figuring out KJ Jefferson last year.
I remember just watching the sidelines for Auburn when KJ broke that 20-something yard rushing touchdown after breaking like two or three tackles.
Not all he broke.
Yeah.
That's not all he broke, right? And a day later, there was a new coach.
I texted you. I was like, I remember texting you after the game. It's like, could they make a decision after this? And you're like, I don't know.
Yeah, I think they made a decision during that game.
A lot of folks had made that decision well before then. But, yeah.
Bill, I think, Bill, to your point about being scared of KJ, I think the defensive coordinator, Rogers, he's a fantastic talent. Here's a kid that's been at Mississippi State for quite some time. He's broken all these SEC records, and I'm curious how he looks under Zach Arnett in that new offense. But he's not scrambling out of the pocket like KJ is, and he's not making those, like, game-changing play. He's just really good and really consistent. I think KJ, the worrisome thing is if he gets outside the pocket, if he breaks that one tackle, he could take it 40 yards to the house.
Right.
And that, for a DC, whether you're Kevin Steele, whether you're anyone in this league, particularly in the West, that's the scary factor you can't account for with losing a dual threat like KJ.
You mentioned offensive line as a question mark, which is crazy to think on a Sam Pittman team. You know, I wonder how that will progress over the course of the season. But Auburn landed an offensive lineman in the transfer portal, Muskie, as Hugh Freeze calls him, Jade Muskrat, who was an Arkansas kid looking at Arkansas, possibly in the portal. So what can you tell us about the offensive line and where could stability come from?
I think up the middle, you got Limmer and Latham back. You brought in Braun from Florida. Limmer's going to be an All-SEC, maybe an All-American in some cases. Latham's probably going to be a fringe All-SEC guy. And if you can run up the middle, you can have success. But, I mean, you see the D-tackles in this league. That doesn't happen very often. You've got to be able to stretch the field and really go not just in between the tackles, outside the tackles. And hopefully Arkansas finds some younger players both in-state and out-of-state that – have the capability to be a left tackle. What happened, I don't know if y'all watched the LSU-Arkansas game last year. They were in that game even without KJ, but Harold Perkins, a true freshman All-American, just single-handedly won that game for LSU. And you play guys like that in this league, and if you can't block one guy, then you're done for. And Arkansas just didn't have that last year.
I mean, one of Auburn's problems over the last couple of years has been consistently struggling to win the battle between offensive tackle and defensive pass rusher. Like, that's something where, I mean, it's Auburn brings in two tackles from the transfer portal with starting experience from the group of five, hoping that they're the answer. But that is, I mean, that is a focal point for your offense, because if you don't have tackles, like, you're what you feel comfortable doing with your offense and what you're willing to ask your quarterback to do changes considerably if you don't think he's going to have time before the guys on the outside get to him.
Yeah, and guys, KJ has only been healthy one season at Arkansas, and it was the season that he played one game when Felipe Franks was the starter. So that's the only season that he has either not been in for a full game or he hasn't gotten injured during the course of a game. So there's an expectation that he won't be able to play 12 games this fall. You're just hoping their backup situation is better than last year.
Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com. Sam Pittman, and before we let you go, Sam Pittman also mentioned strength and conditioning. You talked about the injuries. Strength and conditioning has been a huge focus. You guys brought a defensive lineman who gained, 45 pounds since the season ended last year? Not an exaggeration, Bill. I believe that is it?
Legitimately.
I've done that in an offseason.
Yeah.
Well, if I was.
He didn't do it on the hammock, Bill.
No.
That's the difference.
No, that's true.
With some Mai Tais. Now, I was like, is that all muscle? He's like, yeah, there's some fat, but it's pretty much. And he said he got faster. He's still running 20 miles an hour. He said he's in the best. And I'm just thinking to myself, if I added 40 pounds, it would be nothing but just fat.
Yeah, and Rocket Sanders is seemingly bigger and stronger than he was at the end of last year. And I mean, look, KJ didn't need to get more impressive looking, but and yet here we are, and yeah. He is. So, yeah, I think that's a I'm really intrigued. I said on your show yesterday, if you look at Auburn's 8 conference games, Bama, Georgia, LSU, probably in some order the 3 toughest.
Yeah.
After that argument start about what the 4th toughest game on paper is on Auburn's schedule, I think it's at Arkansas. I really do. Between you could choose at Arkansas, you could choose at A&M, you could say Ole Miss at home. You know, which of those 3 is the toughest one? I think for this Auburn team, especially with – with a defensive line that only has a couple of players that were on last year's team and seeing the field, that is a scary matchup in Fayetteville against that rushing attack and an offensive line that later in the season might have figured some things out.
That series hadn't been too kind to the Razorbacks in the last decade or so, and I could see Freeze. I said this, and I think I told you this. I think Auburn's the most intriguing team, not just in the West, but the entire – And I don't know if Freeze can pull a Malzahn 2013 where he just all of a sudden turns a team that didn't win a conference game to a team that's in the national championship. But this guy not only beat Saban twice, he should have beat him the 3rd consecutive time. They should have won that game against Jalen Hurts. They just couldn't stop him in the second half. This is a guy that does what Auburn fans want, beat Nick Saban in Alabama. And that game's in Jordan-Hare. I honestly would not be surprised at all if Auburn won that game. Even as weird things happen, Arkansas fans know all too well 2010, 2020, all too well that weird things happened in that stadium, and it would not surprise me at all if I looked up after Thanksgiving weekend and Auburn was a victor in that one.
Ty, tell everybody how they can find the outstanding coverage you and the rest of the team do.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Ty Sports Radio, hitthatline.com, ESPN Arkansas 6-9, and I'm just hoping I'm counting down the days till Auburn 2024 because I'm ready to get back there.
There was nobody more excited to see Arkansas staying on Auburn's schedule in 2024 than our buddy Ty Richardson.
Maybe
make the return visit. And you know what? We'll have you on closer to the Auburn-Arkansas game.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you more during basketball season, too, because this should be a really exciting year for Arkansas basketball, and Auburn's got a pretty good team coming in as well.
And they're coming to Fayetteville, right? Auburn's coming to Fayetteville.
Were you at the court storming game?
Oh, yeah. Come on, man.
you were at center court. You were at center court there with Wendell Green.
Yeah, Wendell got teabagged at the end of that game. That was tough. It was tough for him.
Ty Richardson from ESPN Arkansas.
Oh, man, it's good hearing you.
Line.com. Great to see you, Ty. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Karaoke later. What do you say?
We'll like
Oasis?
Oh, we got Bill. You got to give me and Dan ideas for tonight. We got to have some.
I've got to see some of this, man. I got to see some of this.
Islands of the Stream with me and, oh, God. And Ty Richardson.
Yeah, I can see that.
oh boy! All right, yeah, Ty, thanks Kenny? Again. Really appreciate it.
You got it, guys.
All right, so we're going to take our final break. We will be back with more Don't Go Anywhere live from Radio Row in Nashville at SEC Media Days. This is The Drive on ESPN 106.7.
This is Lee County District Attorney Jessica Venturi with tips for a safer summer. It's all
390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final minute or so here of the Wednesday Drive. I think Sam wasn't done. We just lost him. His phone must have dropped out a while ago. Sam, we got just a brief amount of time. What's up?
Sorry about that, Sam. What's up?
All right. So
I just had a question. What do you think is, who do you think would be like a dark horse team to win the West or to finish top three?
I mean, NFC, what are we?
No, we're talking about the SEC West, aren't we?
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, he was talking NFL a while ago.
That's right. It was a Jet.
It's the last year of divisions. A dark horse would be probably Arkansas or Auburn.
I think anybody. Okay.
Anybody other than Alabama and LSU would be a LSU. I'd say A&M, just because of the hype that there's been the last few years, probably wouldn't be considered as dark a horse.
Bill, weren't you saying you're hearing a lot of optimism out of Oxford about this year's team and what they could do?
Yeah, I'm also seeing other people thinking they may go 4-8. It's crazy. You got Lane, Shane, and Josh tomorrow, right?
That's right. Can't wait for that. Should be a real fun one. Josh Heupel returning to media days after an outstanding season, and it's here in Tennessee.
Now, are you going to still be up there or on the way back? Do you know?
I think I might be phoning in tomorrow. We're going to have Ferguson in the studio.
Okay.
Justin Ferguson's back, and he's going to drop on by. And yeah, I think they're going to want us out of here by 4 o'clock tomorrow. So
I understand that.
Some of tomorrow might be a phone segment or two with me.
All right, sounds good. Well, have a good trip. We will talk to you tomorrow. We're out of time. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.